The Junkyard Dog totally got me into Queen. It would have taken a while before I ever heard any Queen, if not for him.
Did you remember the
I like
tugboat
Hack.
and Andre the Giant? Hulk.
Andre the Giant, yeah, of course.
Coco, beware.
Andre, oh, I forgot about him. I remember also Hacksaw Jim
Oh,
Duggan.
yeah.
Oh!
He carried that 2x4.
Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I proudly present to you, for your listening pleasure, We Heart Music Radio. Brought to you by the good people at WeHeartMusic.com.
This is Christina from New Jersey.
And this is Mo from Minneapolis. Christina, were you heartbroken about Peter Steele dying on April 14th?
Actually, it was really shocking. My friend Jason, who has been on this podcast before, he sent me a newspaper. It was something that was really, really unexpected, considering that he was only in his late 40s.
What was the
So
verdict? Was it a heart attack?
far, that's what they say. They don't say that there's anything else related to that.
So for those who don't know, Peter Steele is the singer and songwriter of Type O Negative.
Type O Negative have technically been around since around 89, 90. They were a goth metal band. They started off sort of in the ashes of Carnivore, which was a thrash metal band that Peter Steele was also the lead singer of. I think they had their first album. It was more of an EP. It had leftover songs that you can still hear. It's like rough and fast, but then the pace starts to slow down, and with every other album, they sort of slowed down and became this goth metal band that lots of people loved. I mean, for me personally, and I know that the people who have been upset and shocked were all, late 20s, early 30s, and we grew up listening to them, or we grew up knowing who he was, because he was a bit of a character. He was an interesting person. He's someone that sticks out and that you remember.
As I understand it, though, this isn't the first time we heard that he's dead, because in 2005, didn't his record company came out with this thing where, ooh, he's dead, and people believe that?
That was a joke. That was a joke, and it was put on their site for maybe a couple of weeks or something around Halloween. But no, he really truly is dead now.
All right.
Because they put that up on the website, but there nobody spoke out. Nobody in the band or anything spoke out. But two of his band members have already confirmed that yes, he did pass away. Plus, he had I don't know. He didn't. He wasn't for the last couple of years. He wasn't looking great. He looked mentally and physically stressed. And according to something I read, he hadn't been feeling too good before he died. Around that time where they put up that fake epitaph, he disappeared for a while. Nothing was heard from the band. Nothing was heard from him. And then there was this clip that I think was on one of their DVDs. I don't know. I saw it on YouTube. I saw it some years ago. And he talks about what had happened. He had been, his mother had died, and he took it pretty rough. So he'd been, I think, drinking and using drugs. He found that his girlfriend at the time had cheated on him, and he beat the crap out of a guy. Now you have to imagine Peter Steele, this guy with broad shoulders who was like about 6'8", beating somebody up.
Yeah, the guy's pretty tall.
Yeah, the guy was huge. He was not like some skinny tall guy. He was kind of big. He had big, big shoulders. He probably beat the crap out of this guy big time. So the cops were looking for him. There was a warrant out, and his sisters turned him in.
Huh. Is he from like Russia or something? Or he has a very weird like name, like a Ukrainian kind of name.
He's partly Russian, partly Icelandic, partly Polish. I would think his last name was Polish, but I'm not really sure.
Huh.
But yeah, he does have sort of an Eastern European Nordic sort of name.
And from my understanding though, from just reading about him, is he is a very depressing kind of guy, like kind of self-deprecating kind of guy.
That was the thing about him. There was this dichotomy to him where, some of the music, especially some of his earlier stuff, could be really aggressive, and he in interviews, sort of like he used to go on Howard Stern and stuff, he could be crude and make these like nasty typical jokes, and then he would make fun of himself as well. And then if you look at a lot of the fan pictures that he's taken with people, he's always rolling his eyes up, looking really creepy. And I think that in part maybe has to do with his shyness. He had spoken about that before, where he used to be really shy, and I think he used to drink. He was sort of a quiet, intelligent, literate person. And there was a sensitivity to him, which came out in some of his mid-career records, like October Rust, for instance. It's really, really sensitive. It's sort of a very earthy, kind of paganistic album. But it makes him a lot dreamier, because obviously he has a lot of female fans. He was this tall sort of, he was handsome in not a typical way. Sometimes he'd make these monstrous faces, and sometimes he has this really beautiful face. He was pale, really dark black hair with light eyes, very tall. And in Britain, I think in the late 90s, he was named one of the ugliest male celebrities, which he joked about. He didn't take it too personally, but he was really, really handsome. It made him more dreamy, you know, where he's very masculine and intelligent, but he's very, very sensitive. Jessica and I were watching this video. It was a public access video, some show from Santa Cruz, a metal show, and he's sitting right next to this woman, and he's really, really sexy and very masculine, but in a non-threatening way, and he has this really low voice, and he's just intelligent and very, very relaxed about himself, and yeah, a little self-deprecating. So, yeah, that leads us up to his female fans and his being in Playgirl.
So what is this infamous thing that he did?
Well, Peter Steele, as we said before, was about 6'8", and he was a very proportional man, which once you see him in Playgirl, you realize he was very, very proportional. No wee surprises here. He did this sort of as a publicity thing. I think somebody in his management team had told him, and he agreed to it, but he did it not knowing that the majority of people that read Playgirl are men. So he, I think, gathered a small gay fan base there. And in his later albums, I'll say I wasn't a really big fan of them. As a response to this, he wrote the song I Like Goyles, which is, I mean, in typical Peter, his sense of humor, there's a sense of humor here, and it's a little aggressive.
I'm gonna be your queen again. Keep the crew back, be at home. There's no damn way I'm playing drop the soap. Okay, and I'm strange, but I ain't no queer. So take your right hand, disappear. But I'm proud not to be PC. I like girls.
The Playgirl thing is not the only mag that he did. That's the only one I knew about, but I had an ex-boyfriend who knew that I was really, really big fan of Peter Steele, and he gave me this, I don't know what it is, it's some porn magazine that his friend had, and Peter Steele's in it, he's completely dressed, it's just some woman half naked, and he's just sitting there with her. So he's done other stuff like this before, I don't know to what extent. Origin of the Feces is this fake live album. The record company asked them to put out some sort of live album, so they put out a fake one. They went to the studio, brought their friends in, and based it on some real experiences they'd had at shows, but it's fake. The thing about that album is that the original cover is Peter pulling his ass cheeks apart. It's you get to know him very well, which then, of course, you ask, you don't think you're going to get some like gay fans here when you're giving them this much information?
So, going back to his death, though, because he was at a pretty young age, do you think this has anything to do with maybe drug abuse or anything that might have caused this acceleration of his heart attack?
Well, yeah, I don't know if he was using anything now, but as I said before, he had, when he was missing for a while, it seems like he was really into drugs or alcohol. He was really deep into that. Plus, imagine that he's touring. They were a touring band. They toured a lot. That had to affect him. Plus, it seemed he was just really, really sad. Part of the problem with his sisters turning him in, he felt that they had turned on him.
Huh.
I remember I saw this video a number of years ago, and I can't tell you specifically what he said, but the feeling I remember leaving with was that he was really hurt and affected, and I don't know if he was in some sense of denial or if there were other issues that he didn't go into that, you know, we as the public don't know about his family, but he was very resentful that they turned him in. He felt very betrayed, that they were traitors and they were bad guys and they were out to get him. But to me, it kind of made sense that if he was out of control to the point that he went and he beat somebody up that badly, that maybe somebody had to interfere to get him off of drugs, because as soon as the cops nabbed him, he was put in a psychiatric ward, I guess, to detox, and then he was put in prison.
But you probably have to understand his state of mind at that time, because, you know, you find out, you know, your significant other was cheating on you, you would be in a different state. But I also understand why his family needs to step in and save him from doing mistakes that, you know, could...
That's how I looked at it. I could see both sides. I could see what was going on with him. He was very close to his mother, and her dying really, really hit him hard. So I can see that. And I can see his sisters, you know, trying to get him some help, but he didn't seem to see it.
Oh, all right.
Okay, after having gone through all that with his family, with his mom dying and then with his sisters and, you know, having that hard year, he found religion again. He'd been an atheist for the longest time, and he found religion, but he saw it in a really logical manner, as in he was getting older, and you get older and you're getting closer to death, and you sort of need religion in your life.
Is he now a Catholic?
He was a Roman Catholic.
So, pretty tragic loss to the metal world?
He'll be missed, but I think one good thing is that it brought me back to Typo. I hadn't really listened to them for a couple of years. I had the CDs there, and I felt like, I don't know if I still like them, but listening to them, I like a lot. I love his singing. They have a signature sound, and I love the things that he has to say. There was a sensitivity and a beauty to him that you read through his lyrics. That's it. I feel really, really bad. Also, just I think having grown up listening to him, you feel, you know, you have the strong connection, as that's part of your youth, and part of your youth has just died.
Oh. So what's your favorite song? Maybe we can end the show with that.
Love You to Death. Love You to Death is really a pretty song with a really nice melody, and he's very romantic and dreamy in it. That was a song I like to think of, like, when I grow up and Peter Steele is my boyfriend. That's my song.
Salty sweat drips from her breast. Her hips move, and I can feel what they're saying, swaying. They say the beast inside of me is gonna get ya. I am your soul.
Oh no, I gotta start again. I get all nervousy. I gotta start again. No, this is gonna be, we're gonna be here 3 extra hours. No, this candy, the stomach ache, you making me laugh. We're never getting through this. We never.
I mean, not to bring it back to this, like...
what that we always talk about?
but don't you agree? There seems to be a huge... I mean, as far as pedophile goes, for some reason, I think...
They're all Catholic?
Yeah, that's just, like, weird. Some communion wine that's spiked with Spanish fly. Altar boy, altar boy. Is it gonna be heaven or hell? You can play my organ all night long if you promise never to